This is an interesting story that has to do with alcohol. We were just talking about Marco Musso being, of course, granted full parole earlier this month. But there were a lot of things that were alarming about the information that came out today from the parole board, including they felt that he didn't have any empathy. He had a tendency to think more about himself than the people he has harmed. These were just some of the reasonings that they gave him parole, even that he had work to do, particularly in the areas of community acceptance and empathy. He had tons of tickets, 10 in total, from speeding, and they didn't feel like he grasped that situation completely. We wanted to give you a bit of an insider look into the system. A guy named Josh, we won't identify him further than that. He's a police officer who specializes in impaired driving. He joins us now to talk about it. Thanks for reaching out to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's always a good day, Josh, when we can learn something new. And for me personally, I might be alone on this one. I had no idea that you can specialize in impaired driving. What does that mean?
Yeah. Particularly where I work in Peel Region. We have decided that based on the complexity of these cases and the sheer volume of cases, that having a dedicated unit for the purposes of doing impaired driving investigations was sort of would better suit our needs. So we have officers who are trained as I was, as both breath technicians and experts in drug impaired driving. And so that when you work in that unit, and I spent a number of years there, you're always available to assist with those investigations when they come in. So both taking samples, doing drug evaluations, and then doing all the proactive work to catch people before tragedy happens.
So what's a day look like to you? You know, day to day, what does it look like in your job?
So when I was in that role, I'm back in a different role now where I'm on the road, and I train officers in this stuff. But in that unit, a typical day would basically be when I wasn't doing a breath test, you'd basically head out in the morning to the LCBO or beer store of your choice in the region. Typically, I would set up at an LCBO or beer store 15 minutes before it opens. And many days within an hour of it opening, I would have a driver in custody for drinking and driving. Absolutely. And it sounds crazy, and people don't believe it. And we'd actually stop people in the morning. Hi, how you doing? I'm Officer Barron. I'm here to talk to you about if you've had anything to drink today. A lot of people will, especially the chronic alcoholics, they will drink a whole bottle before bed. They will head to the LCBO or beer store the next morning to get their next sample, and they're twice the legal blood alcohol limit in the morning when they go to the store. And I'm talking hundreds of investigations I've been personally involved in where that's what I'm arresting for. We've had officers who've arrested 150 people a year just by going to LCBOs and beer stores in the morning.
Wow. And are you in a marked vehicle or an unmarked one?
Sometimes unmarked. I do this work fully marked vehicles as well. What it comes down to, you know, once they've pulled into the lot, you're going to observe driving, how they park, right, how they walk into the store, how they walk back. You know, are they just carrying the Mickey and not in a bag and slipping it into their pocket? Little indicators that give you suspicion to believe that the person might have alcohol in their body. And then you simply stop the driver, have a quick conversation. Is there alcohol in their breath? Are they showing other signs? And breath testing.
Given that rationale, the idea that you show up in the morning and you know that these people have probably had a drink or a large amount of alcohol before bed, are there a couple of different... Would you put drunk drivers into different categories, almost into different silos, where, you know, you're talking about people who have an alcohol problem, quite obviously, in this case, but are there different degrees of them in your mind?
When it comes to the types, you definitely do see different types of offenders. So you have your chronic alcoholic who probably on a daily basis is more of a functioning individual and who won't show overt signs of impairment, but will walk around with a blood alcohol concentration 1 to 2 times the legal limit just to function. That's the person that we see the most of in our proactive work. Then you get the occasional binge drinker who's maybe had a car accident, the person coming from the club, the person who it might have been an isolated incident for them, and that's the other side of it. So there's two groups. What we see, and in my experience, I've been involved personally in about 1,000 investigations, and what I've seen is that the majority of the cases are coming from that person who abuses alcohol frequently and has a substance abuse problem.
So let's get into the case at hand. Now that we've seen the reasoning behind Marco Musso being granted parole, you've obviously followed this case, I'm sure. What are your thoughts?
Well, a couple thoughts. So one thing that's interesting to look at, so University of Saskatchewan put out a study in 2015, and it was about recidivism rates in impaired driving. What they found, they took two different groups. They took impaired people with impaired driving convictions and people with other criminal code convictions. And they looked at the rates in this study at which they reoffend, both people who got custody and people who didn't get custody. So they found that in the general criminal behavior, the recidivism rate was 30%. So someone who is charged with a criminal offense, there's a 30% chance they'll reoffend. For an impaired driver, the recidivism rate is actually only 0.8% in their group. And that was thousands of people studied. So people who drink and drive have very low recidivism rates. And they found that actually the in-custody people, the rate was just a little bit higher, 1%. So the overwhelming thing they learned from this study was that heavy sentences, heavy fines, education, none of that stops people from drinking and driving, and it's not an effective deterrent. What was a deterrent was getting that first enforcement action, because the rates of repeat were low, but people will do it because they have a substance abuse problem, they have an addiction, they don't realize they have a problem. So when we look at Muzo, the big thing here is he got parole, yes. What is the likelihood that he'll reoffend? Probably quite low. What's concerning to me was that in his other parole board hearings, they talked about his looser attitudes towards alcohol, a lack of acceptance of responsibility, and a pattern of poor driving. So those things collectively tell me this is someone who probably has a higher chance, and this is just, I'm not a judge, I'm not on a parole board, but based on those factors, it's the attitudes about alcohol that would concern me the most. Because custody doesn't deter people. It's something where we see, you know, the same people over and over again. They're not thinking about it. We've been educating the public for 50 years, don't drink and drive. You'd think the message was getting through, but it's really about people's substance abuse problem that I think is the bigger picture.
Officer, we appreciate you taking the time and calling in today with all that. Very fascinating stuff.
Yeah, you guys have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you, Josh.